This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon. This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and I am sitting with my co-host Whitney, and this is episode number 42 of, no, you know what?
Yeah,
41 and then 42. I knew I was going to jack that up. And this is episode 42 of Within the Trenches podcast. There we go.
We
got through it. Yay. Oh, thank you, folks, for tuning in and listening to that horrible intro that I just did.
How did we just set up a whole perfect intro? And then you're like, okay, I'm going to hit record. And you hit record and you fell apart. It's like when you accidentally answer a non-emergency, but you answer it, Allegan County 911, where's your emergency?
Yes.
And people are like, and then you fall apart as the call
right.
taker, and you're like, everybody's just like, making all these
hold
noises.
Hold on, rewind, hold on. It just sounds like a soundboard. That's all it is. Well, that's my time, folks. I'm out of here. Thank you very much. And it's the same thing, too, when you're answering a 911 call. Because I know I've done it before where I pick up the phone really fast for 911.
This is Whitney.
I was trying to get 911. Well, you did get 911. Well, you said, just forget what I said. What is your emergency? Yes.
What is your address? Shut up.
Let's not waste time. I'm losing points on my QA.
I was just going to say, I'm going to get burned on this, so shut up and give me your address.
You know, I don't know if we've talked about this before. Maybe we have, but there was one time that I remember specifically where I took a 911 call, and holy crap, I started crying for them. My eyes are burning now. I took a 911 call, and it was a domestic, and I'm going through because we had just started bringing out the top five people for QA points, and I was number one. Like, man, I'm going to keep it. I want to keep that number one. So I'm taking this call, and I'm trying to go through all the questions. Well, I get to the cross street, which is right in the beginning, and she's not giving me the cross street. And I'm like, ma'am, what is your cross street? And I hear one of our partners on the other side of the room saying, man, she's going to get her ass beat because she's not giving those, because she's not getting those, those cross streets.
You are not moving past it. We are so competitive in our center.
Man,
she's going to get her ass beat.
All because of the crossroad that she didn't want to give. Oh, man.
I hate when people word it like that, though. And when they read it, I mean, I know they're written in a certain way where most people should understand them, but I don't care. We don't deal with most people.
Right.
On average.
Exactly.
And I rephrase mine. I always say, what's the nearest intersection with 30th Street? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, because that's if they're on 30th Street.
837.
Right.
Oh, man. But I remember hearing her say that from across the room.
Awesome.
And in the back of my head, I am just cracking up laughing in my head, not out loud, folks. But I'm trying to get that. And she finally gives me the crossroad. I'm like, yes, got my points.
Right. Has anybody been using any alcohol or any drugs out there tonight? Finally, just go right into the next one.
Yeah. Now that you've said that, we can move on now. Yeah. Oh. Holy crap.
Is that it? Are we done?
Yeah. And that's it, folks. That's all the time we have. That was about 5 minutes. Oh, man. No, it's been a couple of weeks. We did, as we were saying, episode 40 together. And then 41, I had done an episode with Jessica from Maricopa County Sheriff's Department. In the beginning of that one, before we recorded,
I would have asked all about like the pink underwear the prisoners have to wear, and I would have been like, "Oh, I've seen your documents on TLC. Are you documenting?"
I know, in one of the emails that she sent, she was telling me about these different shows that have featured in their sheriff's department.
Yeah, what is it, Arapizo?
I'm not sure.
Alpaca.
We'll have to ask her. But you know what? I'm kicking myself in the butt now, too, because I did want to bring that up. And I remember during the episode when we were talking, I said there's a bunch of information that I saw in the email that you sent us, and I wanted to bring it up. And during the episode, I'm looking for it, and then I gave
up.
That's
what you need me as your co-host.
I know. I gave up, and I said, you know what? I already closed it out, so let's move on. So, yeah, we're going to have her on again so we can talk more about that other stuff. But it was a good episode.
Good.
It was a good time, and now we are back. And, you know, I was telling you earlier, we got some good feedback from that 40th episode.
The leg meat episode?
Yes, the infamous leg meat episode. There's leg meat everywhere. Yeah,
okay.
Later on that day, I had a steak. It was weird.
Better than ground beef.
I know. Oh, yeah, the one guy. You know, that was one thing that I had said last time that I wasn't going to get into and go into a lot of detail. There was something that I left out, and I don't have to go through all the detail, but it was just this one guy that my cousin and I had met on a bus ride, Greyhound bus from Michigan to Florida, which took like a week.
I remember you telling me the story. Every time you talk about it, I still think to myself, who takes Greyhound buses to Florida anymore?
Man.
I thought that was like a 70s thing or like the Freedom Rides. Is that what you and Nando did?
Yeah, pretty much. but we're going and we're in like the Jacksonville area. We're almost there. And this guy had come up to us, and actually it was my cousin Mike who was with me, and he was showing us some CDs that he had, and he just had this Muscle shirt on, and he goes, oh,
this is,
man,
gonna go places.
I know. And there's only a few of us on the bus, and so we're sitting there and we're talking to him, and he just keeps saying, man, aren't you guys hot? And we're like, yeah, I guess, but dude, it's Florida, and the AC is broke on the bus. Well, he was just baking, and you can like see the fumes of his like stench coming off him. And he goes, man, I smell bad. And usually my nose is stuffed, so thank God for that, because I couldn't smell him. And he says, watch this. So he gets up and he goes to the middle of the bus, and there's this girl sitting there. Then he goes over and he turns around. He's sitting in front of her, but turns around to talk to her. Then he puts his arm up.
Nope.
To where?
I would have gotten in a fist fight in the middle of a Greyhound bus that was southbound. That is disgusting.
He put his arm up so that his armpit was, you know, open. Oh, and he goes, he starts like waving his in the air. And you can see her face like she's already cringing. And he says, can you smell that? Can you smell me? And, oh God, it's making me want to vomit right now. But she goes, no, not really. And what?
This is where you got that saying from.
What's that?
It smells like...
Oh, it smells like hamburger.
Yes! I never knew where you...
This is the origin. The origin of that. Yes.
Did you see all of a sudden?
I know. Connect? I saw your face. Man, I wish I could have had a video of that. It's like... Yeah, so he says to her, it smells like hamburger.
You're a terrible person.
I know.
You want to know why people don't ride Greyhound buses? Because of that. Because that's what everybody thinks of when they think of a long trip on a Greyhound bus.
That's why we get those annoying phone calls on 911. There's this weird guy on the bus. He's asking me if I smell like hamburger. Or if he smells like hamburger. So we're laughing, and he ends up going to the front of the bus. And there's this old man who's got his head, you know, back on the seat, and he's passed out. So he goes up by him, puts his arm up again, and starts like whiffing it towards him. And the old man starts moving. He's like twitching. Like, I'm sure he could smell it because he was
angry. The more you tell this story,
because he was breathing heavy.
Oh.
And so every time he took a deep breath, he was taking in that hamburger helper.
That is sick. That's sick.
And finally, the guy sits up and he turns around and looks at him, and he just kind of waves. And the dude comes back by us. I'm like, oh, geez, that was so bad. And that was Jacksonville to, I think, Orlando. He was on the bus with us. And it was the worst thing. So that was the hamburger guy reference from the episode 40. And yeah, think about that Hopefully you get a phone call tonight when you go into work, a 911 call, where somebody
angry now,
where somebody smells like hamburger.
Oh, it's usually a dead person when people are like, I don't know what that smell is. But,
Exactly. You know, I remember there was a call, a medical call that I took where they had said that they knew it was going to be a real bad call. The ambulance, they knew it was going to be a bad call when they got out there and the officer was standing outside of the house, just vomiting his brains out. I don't remember who it was.
Dang it. I was going to ask off the air. Who was it?
I know. I don't remember who it was, but I remember when they called for their times and numbers, I said, how bad was it? Because, you know, these people had said that they hadn't seen this guy for a few weeks and, or more. So, you know, they said, you know, yeah, we got out there and it was really bad. And then they said that we knew it was going to be bad when we got there. And the officer is standing outside of the house just vomiting.
That's awesome. One of the deputies, he had the same issue. He could not do, he could do everything, but I guess really old dead bodies. He just could not get himself past that. When I was doing one of my geo rides or one of my ride alongs or something like that, one of the deputies I was riding with, he's like, yeah, one time we had somebody leave an adult foster care home or something like that. And he died in the woods and they didn't find him. And then it was really hot and whatever. And they ended up having to like pick him up with a snow shovel, put him in a bag. Cause it was that like melty and it was just that decomposed.
Holy crap.
And they called this deputy and made him do it. I would have been like, nope, not getting out of my car. I would have crossed my arms and pouted in my car and said, I'm not getting out. The same thing. They said he was so sick and they were like, if you want, and I don't know what he, if he wanted to be like an Emmy or something like that. I forget. Yep. There was a reasoning behind it when he was telling the story. I thought, well, I kind of see why they were like, no, you have to do this if you want to be part of this, whatever.
But yeah.
Yeah. I would have been like, nope. Peeled out of there.
Oh man, that is nuts. One of the things I wanted to bring up was in the episode 40, when I was talking about my stupid hernia, we had, you had mentioned, you had said the field day. Well, I never explained. I was listening to this episode. I was just telling Whitney, just a little bit ago that I was listening to this episode on the way here. And I realized that I never explained that field day. So my 9 year old, he's in fourth grade. And since the beginning of when he was going to school at this other school, they do this thing called ducks in training. Now in the school, they go to, when they get into the high school, yeah, they'll be the ducks.
Yeah. I was gonna say that's their mascot, right?
Right. Yeah. They're the ducks. Yes.
But the opposing,
it's D-U-X.
Right. But the opposing,
that's what makes it cool.
That the same high school, or I'm sorry, the same town has another high school. There's an East and a West and the other one is the Chicks.
Yeah. Yeah. With the X as well to make them extreme. I don't
think it's working.
So they have this field day for all the elementary students. So they're like in training, you know, to be fit and all this other stuff when they go into high school. So my wife and I, we ended up volunteering and we were in charge of the tug of war. So, and we had done this a couple of years ago and we loved it. So this was just a few days after I had gone to the doctor about this stupid hernia. And we we're doing this and excuse me. We're actually split up because there was two different games. So I was running the tug of war first and then Becky did. Well, I've got this class that comes in and there are, excuse me, geez. There's 18 girls and only 6 boys. Yeah. I don't know how.
Boys versus girls or whatever.
Right. Yeah. They first did it where there were odds and evens.
Yeah.
So, you know, to even it out on both sides. So they did that a couple times. And then the kids were just saying, let's do boys versus girls. Yeah, yeah. And the girls are just screaming, we're going to take you out. And the 6 boys, no, we're going to. They're like, no, we're going to win. And I look at the teacher and the teacher says, I guess go ahead and let them do it. And I said, this is your decision. I'm not going to be the one to take any blame here. And she says, no, just go ahead and let them do it. I'm like, all right. So the girls are all on the one side and the boys are on the other. And I'm asking them if they're ready to go. And I say, go. And those boys actually held it for a little bit. And then the girls just all at the same time went forward and then yanked really hard. Whoosh. They went flying. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, we won. And I said, you guys want to do one more time?
I was like 18 inches taller than all the boys in elementary school. I'm so tall as it is. And I got way taller. Girls are usually bigger than boys in elementary school. So yeah.
Yeah. And you think of 18 of them versus 6 boys.
Husky girls out there.
So they line back up And one of the little kids, one of the boys that's closest to me, he says, can you jump in and help us? Yeah. And I said, all right, but I won't do it yet. I'll say go, and then I'll jump in. And he says, okay.
You finally found your moment of shining glory.
Yes.
Yes, son, I will.
I will do this.
You pull your cape out of the back of your sweatshirt.
Exactly, yeah. Stories of my legend will be told throughout the land. So I tell them, go. And they start pulling, and I jump right in front of that kid, and I start yanking with all my might, and I swear my stomach felt like it was going to blow up.
You crapped an intestine.
Oh, yeah, pretty much, man. I was like, yeah. Oh.
Kind of and, teen wolf down there laying on the ground.
And I'm trying to pull, dude, and these girls were, well, there's 18 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they were strong as hell. And they did the same thing. They went forward and I thought, yeah, we got it. And they yanked. And I went flying. Dude, I almost fell on my face. And one of the little girls comes up to me and she goes, you tried to help them out and you didn't do nothing. We beat you. Yeah, girls rule. And I'm standing there like,
you
I don't know
braces.
What to say. Oh, man, dude.
Your feet are huge for your body.
Oh, man. I wish you would have been there so that you could have responded for me.
Right. Just face palm them. Stiff arm them as you walk by them.
Face.
God, I hope I never have kids.
You know what an elbow drop is?
Flying arm bar.
Oh,
okay,
man.
So let's get back into 911 related stuff.
Yes.
Do you miss work? Do you miss working with me?
I do miss 911. It's been good. Just working on this side of it, it's real interesting. But it's been good to be able to go to different dispatch centers and show them how to use this new this phone system, plus the text and 911 stuff that we have going on, and to be able to sit there and tell stories with them too. It's weird how you can go into any dispatch center and you meet with them and you talk with them, and it's like you've known them forever. But because we've done the same thing.
Exactly. It's like the same, but different. You know, everybody kind of has a little different twist to the story, but everybody's had that one story or that other story where you're like, I know. And then this probably happened, right? And yeah, you feel like you've been there for 100 years.
Yeah, it's crazy how that is. I mean, I was in there in the dispatch center, and I took that quick snapshot of all those screens and I sent that to you. And so I'm talking to one of the dispatchers there, and he says, well, I'm going to get up and go use the restroom. You got this? I was like, hell yeah, I got this.
No calls came
in, though. Aww. I was all sad. I was waiting for it. I was like, man, if a call comes in, I want to actually answer it.
No kidding.
It's like, I know how to use the system now.
Exactly. I know what to ask. I dare to QA me.
Yeah. It's been good, but I do miss sitting in there with you guys and taking those calls and, you know, just joking afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly. Well, maybe a little bit about the call here and there, but there's that dispatch humor.
Yeah. But it's normally about how your partner reacted to the call or how they handled it. One of my favorite stories still is one of our partners, Jill, took a non-emergency call and she answered the phone. Allegan Central, this is Whitney. And I looked at her. She was dead serious too. She wasn't doing it fooling around. That's one of my favorite stories though, because she just had to keep going, and it ended up being, I don't think it was an in-progress call, but it wasn't just like, I need the number for booking or something like that. And the whole time I'm looking at her just going, no, I'm Whitney. I'm Whitney. Yeah.
It says so on my shirt.
I'm Whitney.
My mom sewed it in.
I got my badge. Keep pulling it out. But yeah, that kind of stuff where the callers don't necessarily know what's going on, and we're not mocking the callers, just mocking our partners.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I definitely miss that.
You probably have forgotten all of our bowel movement schedules by now, too.
Yeah, probably. Actually, sometimes I'm sitting there in my boffice, which has really stuck. Someone sent me a text message, one of our coworkers, and he said the same thing. He's like, are you just in your boffice right now?
I said, Whitney coined man. That.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Coined by Whitney. Yeah, it's really stuck. Everybody's saying it now. In the boffice.
In your boffice.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to get to was this, this tape. It's a tape that I heard And I was looking through this tape library before because I wanted to find something to play, something that's, you know, we're getting into Halloween, mm-hmm. and there's always those scary calls, those calls that you take that just scare you. And the only reference to Halloween is the fact that it's scary, is what I'm saying. So if anybody was listening and thinking, what's the reference here?
Yeah. This guy's an idiot.
Yeah. I'm not listening no more.
I don't know what kind of Halloween Mexicans celebrate, but this is not American Halloween. Hashtag America.
So the hashtag scary of it is what I'm referencing. You know, there's calls that I've taken where there's people that they call and they're scared because they have like an ex-boyfriend who's been stalking them and they're trying to break into the house. Well, one that I can remember was she was hiding in the basement and she was saying, he's outside right now and I can hear him out there yelling. And I could hear the guy too, but she said, I think he's gone. And the officers are still getting there. It was a busy night and they were going from like half of the county to the all the way on the very east side of the county to get to her. And it was a wooded area. And I'm talking to her and trying to talk to her through this because she's just freaking out. And then it just went silent. And I was trying to ask her.
Was it like an open line still?
Yeah, it was an open line.
Oh,
and I'm talking and I'm like, ma'am, are you there? Are you there?
All you can think of is, are they in the bedroom with the caller?
Right.
Like, is that why they've stopped talking or
did
she pass out? Or
exactly. And she wasn't saying anything. So then I hear real loud the doorbell, but the doorbell was the creepiest doorbell I've ever heard. And my goosebumps everywhere.
You go, and hang up.
Sorry, I gotta go. Yeah. I'm gonna have nightmares about this.
Have you ever seen a scary movie? Don't answer it.
Yeah. Well, and she still didn't say anything. And I remember my eyes just popping open as I'm listening to this, and it went off again.
Oh my God.
And then she's. And she just starts screaming. I said, ma'am, what's going on? What's going on? And she says, he's hitting the doorbell. Well, I thought that he had gotten in and got her or something, but it ended up stopping and the officers got out there and, they hooked him. They got him stalking and a bunch of other stuff. But it was crazy. So this tape that I'm going to play, which has, an interesting reference to it. I was looking for this tape. I started listening to it and I thought, man, this is familiar. Well, the reason why it's familiar is because this tape is part of, I think it's season 2, the final episode for Panic 911 on A&E. So if anyone's ever watched that, it's, you know, they're all 911 calls that they dramatize and they play them and they interview the dispatchers sometimes if they want to do it as well as the victims. But if they don't, they get other people to step in to take that spot. Well, I had the interesting opportunity to be part of that episode, and this was the tape that they played. However, when it came to time that the episode was going to be airing, and you know, they told me this is when it's going to air. You can go ahead and tell, you know, your friends and family, because before I kept saying I was part of the show. I couldn't say anything about it.
I was the only one that got to know about it.
Yeah, and you know, I couldn't say nothing. Well, you know, it finally. They sent me an email and they said, it's going to air on such and such day and you can say something about it now. I was like, awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk about it on the show. And the producer tells me, you can go ahead, but there's something that we haven't told you. I said, what's that? They tried to work in my angle and they couldn't do it. So I didn't actually make it into the episode.
Was it because your voice was way too different from
right,
the call?
Yeah.
I'm so excited to hear their voice because I've never heard this call. I've just heard your whole sweet being picked up by a chauffeur story and going to this sweet place to be interviewed story.
Yeah.
But I've never actually heard what the call taker sounds
like.
This
whole thing. Yeah. And after I listened to it again, I really would have had to act to do
it. You have such a distinctive radio type voice.
And just wait to hear this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, please. What is your emergency?
Yeah, Jess. Okay. Hold on. Just one moment here.
Saturday, August 25th, 2012. The time, 02:14.
There's that speak and spell again.
How can I help you?
Yeah.
Hello? 911, how can I help you?
Somebody just broke into our door and trying to break into my bedroom.
What's your address?
3719 Northeast 54th Avenue.
How long ago?
Pardon me?
How long ago?
About 20 seconds ago.
Is he still in the house?
I don't know. I'm pointing a gun at the door in case someone comes through it.
How did they try and get in?
I don't know. I was asleep. My dog started barking.
Okay, you said someone tried to break into your house, sir. I need you to be a little...
They broke in.
Okay, through what door? Window? Where?
I recently saw a meme that says that no one can type faster than a dispatcher or an angry dispatcher.
An angry dispatcher, because you're just like, caller is not answering my questions. I am unclear on where, what door they broke in at this point.
Yeah.
Still working on getting information from the caller at this time.
Okay,
typing very fast and hard.
Listen to me. My partner's getting officers on the way. Stay calm and stay in the room, okay?
All right. He's trying to kick the door in.
Okay.
I'd be like, what door? The front door? Your bedroom door?
Right.
To leave.
What?
Tell him, cops are on the way. You need to leave.
Cops are on the way, but I just shot him about 6 times.
He said, cops are on the way, but I just shot him, or I shot him about 6 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell him, cops are on the way. Get out of my house. What type of gun are you armed with?
I'm armed with a .22.
Now, this was a point that I had brought up to the producers that they missed. I said, he says in the beginning that he shot him, and the dispatcher is still saying, tell him cops are on the way, thinking he's still kicking in the door. This dude's been shot already.
I would have thought the same thing, the way that the whole conversation went. He never mentions, I mean, he mentions he has a weapon, and he's pointing it at the door.
Right.
Okay, did you shoot him?
Yeah, then I would have right there.
Yes, I did. He charged at me and my wife.
Okay, where did you shoot him at, sir?
Pardon me?
Where did you shoot him at?
Body mass.
What?
Thinking like chest then? Abdomen?
Yeah, I'm thinking the chest.
Okay, we're getting medical started as well.
This is where I slowly start to stand up during my 911 calls.
I don't know.
I always do that.
I'm not going near you.
Yeah, I remember.
I always do that. I just start standing up when I'm typing.
Is your front door unlocked, sir?
I don't know. Jangle.
Can you have your wife go unlock the front door? I need you to... He's down. He's not moving. I want the weapon secured.
No problem.
I would have, my progression of my questions would have been the exact same as this dispatcher's. I wouldn't have caught that. Like, I just had to ask you.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Well, and see, I think that's one of the things that happens with us in dispatch is that, just like they say with officers, when they're going hauling ass to something, they've got like that tunnel vision.
Right. Because you have an end game.
Right.
For them, they have to get to your front door to help you. So we're trying to, steadily give them information. But you're probably right. They're missing like every fourth word we're saying.
Mm-hmm. So the same thing would happen with us when we're that in tune to the call. Just like this guy missed that first part. I'm pretty sure I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. Jeez.
Jan? Say what? Huh? I will. They went through and locked up.
His wife is there with him.
Yeah, Jan went to unlock the front door.
Okay. Yeah.
Robert, I want you and the wife. Where did you secure the weapon at?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Where's your handgun?
It's in the kitchen here, and he's in my bedroom.
Okay.
So,
I'm getting goosebumps.
Okay.
Just there,
yes. Unload your gun.
It's unloaded, and the chamber is empty.
Unloaded, chamber is empty. We're going to go outside. You, the wife, leave the dog inside. Hopefully he's locked up.
My wife is trying to lock the dog up now.
I don't know. I guess if one of the officers would have said, unload the gun.
Yeah.
To do it because
we don't know what the radio traffic is at this point.
Right. Yeah.
I hear our deputy say, tell him to put that gun down or something like
right,
that.
Right. Yep.
Like, sir, put that gun down.
They're yelling at me. I'm yelling at you now.
Right.
Yeah. So
what if he's working with like a 4-man team? What if this guy's in a $5 million?
And he just unloaded his gun.
Stevie and 911 is telling him to unload his gun.
No, we're gonna take the gun outside because of the suspect.
Engine 5.
So we're taking that outside, but we want it unloaded. You don't want, I want you to hold it by the barrel.
I have a barrel.
Priority one. I want you to keep the butt facing away from you. So the gun,
what are you thinking?
Locked.
I see your face.
You're going to walk out with your hands in the air.
Why?
The
just leave. If the gun's unloaded, there's nothing left in the magazine or whatever. Just leave it there. Why put one more, like these tunnel vision police officers that are showing up and you're walking out of the house with a gun?
Outside?
I don't know.
Right.
I would just.
Okay. Do you see my
But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's a protocol. Maybe that's what they do. If they
could be. Could be.
I'm going to let you go. Listen to them.
Did he ask anything about the victim or the suspect, I should say? Did he say, is he breathing at all or anything like that?
I don't think so, no. No, because the guy said he shot him and then he's bleeding out in the room. So I don't think there's anything else about.
Stand at your front door.
Four of them.
Stop rapping. Stand.
Hey, guys.
Robert,
hey, how's it going?
Coffee on.
I'm outside, but they're way down the block.
Right. Is your wife outside?
Where's Jan?
With you?
Where's Jan?
Is my wife out with me?
Yes, sir. Is she outside?
She just walked out the door.
Okay. Both of you just stand there. Wait for the officers to give you further instructions.
I'm going to let you talk to my wife because I have a hard time hearing.
He can't hear her.
Oh, and his adrenaline, he was sleeping.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised he was able to give as much as he could.
Yeah.
We're standing in our driveway. You know, it makes me nervous to leave that man in there laying on the floor.
Well, that's why
what, are you going to take him outside with you?
Were there any other guns in the bedroom that you
get out of the house.
To?
You have a wheelbarrow? Can you put him in it?
No.
Okay.
On the ground, Bob.
Yeah, the typing.
Okay.
Walk to him.
Ma'am, I'm going to let you go. Follow the officer's commands.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Aw. Ugh.
So that was the call. Now, do I sound like the person?
You could make yourself sound like that person, but I don't know. That
ma'am?
Sound... Put the gun down. Follow the officer's commands.
What I need you to do.
Yeah, I mean, you could make it happen.
I would sound animated, though.
Yeah.
I think it would sound too, it wouldn't sound right. There was two different angles we were trying to do, and it was me being that dispatcher and the other one was being a coworker, being there at the time.
Got it.
But
like analyzing it.
Right. Yeah. So, but the way they were trying to do it, it didn't work out. So I didn't make the episode.
Still though. Whoa. Don't break into people's houses is my first word of advice.
Yeah.
Because like you break into my house next to our bed, there's about 9 loaded rifles and shotguns all the way down the wall.
And several pairs of antlers, too.
Yes,
dude, I would take those off and just destroy somebody.
Yeah, right. My husband would be like, don't. That's a $600 shoulder mount. Don't. You got a vase right there. Throw it at him.
Right, use that instead.
Right. Yeah, I know. This is the room of death, we call it, that we're sitting in right now.
It's good stuff. But, yeah, it was a good opportunity either way. It was awesome. You know, they said that if there was another season that and they needed anybody to help out, that they would, you know, hang on to my name. So
yeah,
you never know, something might happen. But that'll be the wrap up actually of this episode number 42. It's been good stuff.
Fun.
I know, as always. And I'm gonna put something out there so that we can have more people join in on us with these episodes, so we can do some more Skype interviews and such. And also I put out a video on the on the fan page for Facebook. If you guys want to check it out, actually, please check it out. It's a video that I did to show you exactly what it would look like for Google Plus, the Hangouts on Air, where Whitney and I would be in front of the camera, and there would be about 9 of you who could join us for a Q&A, and we can do an episode that way. I think it'd be awesome to be able to do that, meet a lot of people, and get more stories out there. So
and
please check out that video.
How animated Ricardo and I are would be even that
yes.
much more funny.
Yes, especially that. We also have the teespring.com. You can do crowdfunding for t-shirts. And the t-shirt that I put out there that was 901 Dispatcher, it's the real thing that looks like the Coke logo. That completely exploded. There's about 6 hours left on the campaign, So if you guys want to get one of those shirts, get it now. You can't get it anywhere else. And there's other shirts that have been brought out for the Code 7 apparel. And these are t-shirts that really show dispatch humor, and they're, you know, just getting away from the norm of dispatch shirts. So that's what I'm trying to do. As always, you can send an email to the jcast at thejabberlog.com, also wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, which is @WTTPodcast, and like us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast, and this will be posted up later on today on thejabberlog.com. Have a good one.
Bye.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.